It's that time here in Spain where we talk to Brett Hansen from Blevins Franks. How are we, Brett?
I'm good, thanks, Howard. What about yourself? How's things?
I'm well, thank you very much. Well, Brett, let's look at a topic that's been in the UK news recently, non-domicile status, and what it means from a tax point of view, and whether British expatriates have different considerations to foreign nationals living in the UK. So, Brett, to start with, can you summarise what the term domicile means under UK law, and how is it different from residence?
Yes, Howard. So the subject of domicile and non-domicile has been in the news recently with regards to Akshata Murty, the wife of Rishi Sunak, the British Chancellor of the Exchequer. And basically, because Ms. Murty is considered a non-UK domicile, she has been paying tax in the UK on what is referred to as the remittance basis, which is an alternative tax treatment that's available to individuals who are resident but not domiciled in the UK and have foreign income and gains. It means that she doesn't have to pay UK tax on her overseas income and gains in the UK. And there are reports in the British media suggesting that she's avoided paying around £2.1 million per year in UK tax. If you're taxable on this remittance basis, then you're liable to UK tax in the normal way on your income and gains from UK assets. But when it comes to income and gains from outside of the UK, then you're only liable to pay UK tax on this if you bring this money or remit them to the UK, hence the term remittance basis. So if you don't bring such income or gains to the UK, then you legitimately avoid paying tax of them in the UK. This is only available to anyone who is deemed a non-UK domicile. It's not an option open to you if you are a UK domicile, and under these rules, you can only be granted the non-domicile status if you live in the UK but intend to return home to another country. Oh, and if an individual is non-UK domiciled and making use of the remittance basis, then this only works if you've been a resident in the UK for less than 15 years in the last 20 tax years. As soon as you've been resident in the UK for 15 in the last 20 tax years, then this remittance option is no longer available and you are liable to UK tax on your worldwide income and gains. And this neatly brings me on to your question, Howard, with regards to what does domicile mean and how it is different to residence. Not all countries have the concept of domicile, and those who do have different rules to the UK. But an individual's domicile is not necessarily the same as their residence, in that whilst residency is a transitory concept, in that it's easy to change one's residency, domicile is different. Someone's domicile is often described as the country with which the person regards as their homeland, in effect, the place where they intend to die. The sort of things HM Revenue and Customs look at when considering a person's domicile are the country of which they have a passport or a driving license, or in which they have made a will, arranged to be buried, hold club memberships in, where they have personal insurances, bank accounts, credit cards, and where they have property and family. I'm afraid that there is no set rules on this. Much depends upon your particular circumstances and intentions.
Does domicile have different tax implications for UK nationals living abroad and foreign nationals living in the UK?
Yes, it does, Howard. For listeners who are British expatriates living in Spain, the implication is that if you are domiciled or deemed to be domiciled in the UK, despite living in Spain, then on your death, your worldwide estate will be fully liable to UK inheritance tax. If you are living in Spain and are a non-UK domicile, then UK inheritance tax will only be payable on your UK assets. And if you are a non-UK domicile and do not have any UK assets, then on death there will be no UK inheritance tax to pay. The nil rate band, i.e. the amount which is taxable at nil percent, is £325,000, and the rate of tax on an estate above this is 40%. And this tax is not usually payable when assets pass to a surviving spouse or civil partner. And so if, for example, a husband and wife leave all of their assets to one another, no UK inheritance tax will be payable until the second death. And it's possible for spouses and civil partners to transfer any unused nil rate band allowance to the surviving spouse or civil partner, thereby providing the children, for example, with an allowance of £650,000 before inheritance tax becomes payable.
Let's focus now on what British expatriates living in Spain need to know. What are the three types of domicile under English law?
Yes, there are three types of domicile under English law. You have domicile of origin, which is where a child takes their father's domicile, which is not necessarily the country of their birth. There is domicile of dependence, which applies to women married before 1974 and whose domicile will mirror their husbands as well as minors and other legal dependents. And then there is domicile of choice, which is acquired by moving permanently to another country.
Can a UK national living in Spain change their domicile to a Spanish one? Is this an easy thing to do?
This is an interesting question, Howard. A UK national living in Spain can change their domicile to a Spanish one by acquiring what I referred to before as a domicile of choice. And to do so, you must be physically present and tax resident in, for example, Spain, and intend to live there permanently and not foresee any reason to return to the UK to live. I wouldn't say it's easy, but it's certainly possible to do this. But to do so, you would need to sever as many ties as possible with the UK, as HM Revenue and Customs will look for any indication that you still see Britain as, in effect, your homeland, and that you may one day return. Stating in your will that you wish to be buried in the UK would work against you. Even electing for UK succession laws to apply over the local forced heirship rules in Spain could potentially be a tipping point in combination with other ties to the UK for them to determine that you're a UK domicile. And so if any listeners would like to know if they have changed their domicile or would like to understand how this is possible, then I think it's well worth them contacting us and speaking to one of our local Blevins Franks partners. Behind our partners, they have a team of tax specialists who can assist yourself and the partner in determining what your domicile is likely to be and what steps you would need to take if you would like to change it.
What happens, though, if you then return to the UK or if you move to a third country?
Yeah, a person abandons a domicile of choice in a country by basically ceasing to reside there and by no longer intending to live there permanently or indefinitely. And so if you leave Spain, for example, and you no longer intend to reside there permanently or indefinitely, then you will seem to have abandoned your Spanish domicile of choice. And then when a domicile of choice is abandoned, there are two possibilities. You may acquire a new domicile of choice, or your domicile of origin revives. So on abandoning a domicile of choice, a person may acquire a new domicile of choice by taking up residency in another country and having the intention to reside there permanently or indefinitely. For example, if a UK national who was living in Spain and had acquired a domicile of choice for Spain and then left Spain to move to, say, I don't know, France or the Portugal, in this situation, they can acquire a new domicile of choice for the country they have moved to, I would say almost immediately upon arrival to that country, provided they can demonstrate that their intention is to remain there permanently or indefinitely. If their intention is not to live in this new country permanently or indefinitely, or they are unable to demonstrate this intention, then their domicile will revert back to their domicile of origin. And if a UK national returns to live in the UK, then their domicile will revert back to their domicile of origin, i.e. they will be a UK domicile.
So how can you find out what your domicile is to be certain sure that your heirs won't get faced with an unexpected UK inheritance tax bill?
Unfortunately, Howard, for UK nationals living abroad, HM Revenue and Customs will not provide you with their view on what your domicile is unless there is a significant tax liability at issue. And so unless you were to settle more than the nil rate band into a trust, or you were to die, you are unlikely to find out as to what they consider your domicile to be. And given that it's actually only after your death that any claim to have acquired a domicile of choice overseas is made, and it will usually be up to your beneficiaries to prove any change of domicile, I would say it's definitely prudent to take advice on this matter sooner rather than later if you think that your domicile could affect you and your beneficiaries in the future. Determining your domicile is rather complex, but at Blevins Franks, we do have tax specialists that can help navigate you through this process. And so if you are interested in finding out whether or not you would be regarded as a UK domicile, and if you are, what can be done to change this, then it would be definitely worth contacting your local Blevins Franks partner.
What happens if someone remains UK domiciled? Is there anything they can do to reduce the UK tax inheritance liability for their family?
Yeah, there are a few solutions which can help reduce UK inheritance tax, but they really do depend upon an individual's circumstances. And so if there are any listeners who would be interested in finding out more, again, I would say it will be worth their while contacting their local Blevins Franks partner.
And what about Spanish inheritance tax? If a British expatriate's worldwide asset is liable to UK IHT because they remain in UK domicile, does this mean they are not liable for Spanish succession tax?
So Spanish succession tax arises in two situations, namely where the recipient of an inheritance is a resident of Spain. In this situation, the total amount of the inheritance is subject to Spanish inheritance tax, regardless of where the asset is situated, or where the asset being inherited is a Spanish asset, for example, a Spanish property or money in a bank account in Spain, regardless of where the recipient is resident. There are allowances which depend upon whether the Spanish state or regional rules are applicable and on the relationship between the person who has died and the person inheriting. And the rates of tax also depends upon a number of factors which include the amount inherited, again, the relationship between the person who has died and the person inheriting, and the net worth of the person or persons inheriting. But rates typically start at around 7.5%, but can be as high as 82%. So where, for example, you have a married couple who are residents of Spain and there are two adult children that say they are living in the UK, then on the death of, say, the husband, whereby he has elected for his worldwide estate to pass to his wife, then his wife will potentially have Spanish inheritance tax to pay on all of those assets that she inherits. There would not be any UK inheritance tax in this situation because normally there is no UK inheritance tax between married couples. Then, when the wife dies, leaving all of the assets to their two children, because the children are not living in Spain, then Spanish succession tax will only be payable on any assets which are physically in Spain. But in this situation, there may also be UK inheritance tax to pay if the children are inheriting from their parents who, whilst living in Spain, may still be UK domiciles. In such a situation, although Spain only has double tax treaties specifically for inheritance tax with three countries, and the UK is not one of them, it's very unlikely that if both Spanish succession tax and UK inheritance tax were applicable, you would pay the tax twice. What would normally happen is you end up paying whichever is the higher amount, the UK or the Spanish succession tax. Howard, I would say that with cross-border tax and financial planning quite complex, I do think that listeners would benefit from talking to a specialist advisor such as ourselves on this subject, who have in-depth knowledge of both the Spanish and the UK tax regime and its interaction. And so if anyone would like to contact their local Blevins Franks partner, then they can do this via our website, www.blevinsfranks.com.
So shall we wish our listeners on TRE a happy Easter Sunday?
Yes, Howard. I hope everyone has a great Sunday and enjoy the Easter period.